Good morning and happy Epiphany. And thank you for braving the weather today. It's been raining very hard, and so I appreciate your presence this morning. So we are celebrating Epiphany. And Epiphany is really underrated in the United States. In Europe, it is still a national holiday like Christmas Day. And indeed, it is the pinnacle of Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas, if we truly observe them, are an unfolding of greater and greater and greater light. It is an experience of expanding light in which today, the Epiphany, the ability to see awakens in us. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So on Epiphany, we have these moments of revelation. So the wise men who come and recognize Jesus, who bow down and pay him homage, that is, with dignity and respect. And another Epiphany moment is the baptism of Jesus, the revelation when the dove descends and it is recognized that he is the true Son of God. And another awakening or Epiphany moment is the wedding at Cana, the first miracle, when it is recognized that Jesus is a prophet and a Messiah and the Son of God. So where is our Epiphany, I think, is what we have to ask ourselves this morning, and the awakening. On Christmas Day, I flew to Dallas, and I haven't flown that much since COVID, maybe once a year or every other year, and I'm always startled by the tier structure and how rigid it is. And on the airlines that I flew, they now have 5 categories. You have the gold, you have the platinum, you have platinum pro, you have executive platinum, and in the secret one of concierge key, don't tell anyone. So there are all of these levels of privilege and priority. And I imagine, what would it be like if we served communion that way? I mean, based on who has the highest pledge or who attends the most worship services, you know, imagine lining up group 1, then group 2, and then group 3. But it made me realize how countercultural communion is. It's offered freely to everyone, not based on merit, not based on anything you have done, but it is given freely. In fact, the only people who get special privileges at communion are those who have mobility issues. It's not based on who can pay the most and who has the most points. It is freely given. And so it's something that I learned in reading this gospel and gleaning that these wise men, sometimes called kings, who have these very high tiered structure positions in society. Astrologers had high positions in those days. And so they come, they experience a higher, if you will, intuition to obey the following of the star that leads them to the Christ child. And they bow down and they pay him homage. Here is a child born in a stable who is not in some sort of palace that they would normally be serving in, but they follow this and they bow down and pay him homage. And it's a really important point in the gospel that we need to embrace. When we come to worship, it's really best for us to leave our titles outside the door. And we take ourselves to be what we do, even in retirement. But we are not our titles. We are not the hedge fund manager or the teacher or the doctor or the lawyer or the CEO or the housewife or the mother or the father. Those are simply roles that we play, but they are not who we are. And if we take ourselves to be the roles that we play, we limit ourselves. As someone has once said, we have to come to that place where we recognize I am in us without a predicate nominative, without anything following it to define us. We are simply and purely being. The only title that you and I are entitled to is that we are children of God. And all of those other titles mean nothing. They have their place in the world that we live on the horizontal plane. But in the kingdom of heaven, they have no place. There is no rank and order. And that's really hard for us to wrap ourselves around. Because what we're asked to do, just like the wise man, is to shed those titles and to bow down and worship, to let go of our defined ego and to open to our true self. This is exactly what the wise men are doing. They are recognizing that their true self is Christ, not the roles that they play in the world. And yes, this can be a little bit challenging, but it is the real call that you and I have. It's the purpose of prayer is to let go of our identifications so that we begin to find ourselves more and more and more in the center of God. So the spiritual self cannot reside in the descriptive roles that we play. It cannot find its bearing. In other words, we have to hold those descriptive roles lightly so that we can step back and have, be able to have some distance, detachment from those roles, and to stand centered in the spiritual self so that we can regulate. The descriptive self is also the reactionary self. It's the one that gets frustrated, that gets irritated. That's our descriptive self. It's on the ordinary plane of consciousness. And the mystery of Epiphany is inviting us to discover the mystery of who we really are. And so when we come to worship, when we come to prayer, we are opening to discover who we truly are. Beatrice Bourdeaux uses the scripture in the Epistle of James that if someone comes and looks at themselves in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like, they are only hearers of the word and not doers of the word. But they have to look into the perfect law of liberty to discover who they really are. The real definition of the Greek word truth, aletheia, is non-forgetfulness. That is, truth is non-forgetfulness. We have all these artificial faces that we wear on the horizontal plane, but it is not who we are. It is not what we will take with us when we die. That all stays on the horizontal plane. Who we really are is what goes with us. In the Episcopal Church, when we used to do funerals, we don't have those much anymore, but we would have a large pall. It was a large cloth that would drape over the casket, which represented that everyone is equal in death. It doesn't matter if you have a $10,000 casket or a pine box. We are all equal in death. There's no status symbol. And so this Epiphany revelation for us hopefully invites us to search for the deeper meaning of who we are. We are so much more than what we do and the roles that we play. And that also includes gender and all categories. They're simply descriptors, but they are not the epitome of I am. Jesus asked that of Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And he's asking this question of Peter, not just for Peter to give him an answer, but so that Peter will question in himself, "Who am I?" St. Francis asks that question every day. Who am I and who are you, God? He never presumed to know all the answers. He asked continually because we understand that the true self is one that expands. It is an expansive being. When we let go of all of the predicates, we have so much more freedom. We have so much more room to simply be in God, to rest in God, and to allow the source of our being to flow through us into the world. So during this season of Epiphany is a season just like Christmas and Advent, we want to explore that mystery of who am I? Who are you, God? And may we never settle for descriptors as being who we truly are. Descriptors come and go. But we want to find our identity in something eternal, in the source of our very being. And it means that we can let go of a lot and all of the accommodations that we make trying to discover who we are. Because you are a child of God. And that's all that matters. And the more that we can live into that, accept that, explore it, allow it to expand in us, the freer we become. This is what it means to look into the law of perfect liberty. Amen.